Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 13. Yeah, we found out the cross really didn't mean the cross, and so the California version of the gospel is right.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
That's big.
Speaking very facetiously.
You had to add that in case those listening didn't catch it.
Chapter 2, verse 13. Well, yesterday we study, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. As you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into this kingdom and glory. And now, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Did we study that? The main thing there is, which effectually worketh, it's guaranteed results. And then believe is a conviction which results in total trust. Yeah, we did study that. Okay, verse 14. I think we studied that too. I wished I had a memory. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered the things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. And then we talked about the reason he said the churches which are in Christ Jesus is because the word church just means a group of people. And so the Jews also had churches of God. Amen? Understand? Because he pointed it out. You, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Amen? You see it? Because, normally he would just say the churches.
Yeah.
Because automatically churches are in Christ Jesus in our understanding.
Yeah.
But the point of this is a further emphasis of what churches really mean. They would have thought that they were churches of God, assemblies of God. Okay. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Now this he's talking about the Jewish race. You understand? Now, the word persecuted there in verse 15. There. It's not like normal persecution. It's ekdaioka. And it means to banish or drive out. And they are contrary. It's enatios, over, against, or opposite from, to all men. Now the Roman historian Tacitus, he described the Jews as, quote, stubborn in their faith, prompt in kindness to each other, but bitterly hostile to everyone else. Now let's look at a few things here. Let's go first to Ezra chapter 4. Ezra is just a little bit before Esther. You can find Esther because it's full of wine stains. Ezra 4. This is when the adversaries of Jews tried to stop the temple being rebuilt. And so in verse 11, this is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes, whatever his name is, the king, the servants, the men on this side of the river at such a time. It says, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded, and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom. And so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the king. And now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore we have sent and certified to the king. In other words, it's throughout, we'll see, it's throughout history that the Jews were contrary to all men. But now Paul says, now they're contrary to the gospel. Now, a part of the mystery of the Jewish religion was that it was supposed to be constantly shared with the nations of the world. And that's the meaning of this, you know, the first 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, where all of the nations of the world are invited to the first 7 days. But essentially what the Jews did, which is much very similar to what modern Christianity does, is they ghettoized their own religion. In other words, they made it unique to them. They didn't charge interest on their loans to their own people. What's going on? But they charged exorbitant interest to the countrymen around them. And we'll see more on that. Let's go to Esther, just a few pages.
About this whole picture that's striking me different than ever before, of how throughout history the Jews have always been this strange bunch that causes trouble always. Throughout history they've caused trouble.
The problem is, though, they were supposed to be, instead of being insular and internal and looking only at themselves and their specialty, they were supposed to have been sharing this mystery of God with all people. But what happened was, in all of the writings, they ended up becoming the chosen of God. In other words, and that they had a right by their very birth, a birthright, to be in, and they were the only ones that were in the kingdom of God, and they essentially excluded everybody else.
Everybody else was a Gentile.
Well, that's where you see all these words about being cast into outer darkness. That didn't have any reference to going, you know, something that happens after death. Outer darkness to them was into the Gentile world.
So what's the message here? What's the point? What do we see from this?
We see that this is what modern Christians are doing. By their insular, they're doing this exactly the same thing. They've created themselves into a specialty group, a voting block, if you will, that has their set key issues. They're not doing what they're just as the Jews weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. Neither are the Christians. It's become another insular thing. It's us versus them. A little bit.
Yeah, that's always amazed me about anybody who reads God stuff. I mean, we have a tendency to say, "Oh, this is it," and everything else isn't.
I've preached against that
from the
beginning.
I've preached against it too, but it's still, you can't deny that it tries to take place within even this community.
Because the moment we think we're special.
Yeah, right. And so you have to preach against it, or it'll happen. And when it does happen, if you don't call it, then people.
All right, let's go to Esther now. Esther chapter 3.
That's no small issue there.
No, it's a big issue.
Because, just by what we're reading here about the Jews doing it throughout history.
So, Esther chapter 3. And this is Haman's presentation to Ahasuerus. And Haman's, in verse 8, and Haman said unto the king, Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to allow them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring into the king's treasury. So again, what I want you to see is that throughout all of history, the Jews were persecuted. Many times their persecution was illegitimate. But many other times their persecution was true. When they made it insular, when they made it the biggie from my perspective, and it's a type of what I'm talking about, is they didn't charge interest in their banking system to each other, but they charged exorbitant interest to others. And that's how they became, over many, many long time, they became heavily involved in the financial world. Okay, and let's go now to Acts chapter 16. This is when Timothy, Paul, and Silas go in, and but Timothy is converted here, and Timothy's mother is led to believe, and then they were imprisoned at Philippi. And that verse 19. And when her master saw the hope of their gain was gone, this is when, you remember, Paul had just cast out the demon from the soothsayer. Remember?
Yeah.
And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now, again, we have the testimony of this insular thing. Now, the reason, much of this is literally either persecution because of financial issues or because of political issues, right? So what did Jesus do in the New Testament?
Well, before we leave this one, Paul and Silas were basically beaten because they were Jews.
Right. Well, it was because they were teaching customs. I mean, that's true. I'm not saying that. This is hard to explain. What Jesus did, instead of all of this political stuff and the insular activities of the Jews throughout history, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, which is really the completed covenant, therefore it was always true, Jesus said, who's in power is set up there by me, by the God, by my Father. And it's not a matter of involving yourself in anti or pro political systems, but it is to simply pray for who's ever in power, because you are not of this world. You and meet the needs of all the people around you as a way that's the evidence that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Do you see what I'm saying? But now, the reason I'm talking so much about this is because what modern Christianity has done is it's acting in the same way the Jews were throughout all of history. It's making it insular. It's making it political. It's the great example of this was during the Katrina thing, when that guy was going to give us six apartments in his complex for the Katrina victims, but they had to sign a statement that they were Christians in order to be taken care of. Well, that mindset is what is prominent throughout much of Christianity, especially in the religious right. And it's the same thing that the Jews were doing that got much of the time got them in having such a bad rap. Now, again, and the Jews, synagogue Judaism, if you will, and modern Christianity are the same. They're both waiting for Messiah to come. And so the reason I'm saying this to you is it should be an exhortation not to get involved in politics, not to have political opinions, no matter how right you think they are, because we are not of this world. Our kingdom is a kingdom of the mercy seat, of eternity. The God of this world is the kingdom of all that's going on in time and space. A little bit. That's what, remember, we studied yesterday, the idea of what the word kingdom meant. What did I do with it? It's basilia, is the word for kingdom, and it means that which is under the authority of a king. Now, we saw that even when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he took him up into the high mountain and in a moment of time showed him all the kingdoms of this world. And Satan said to him, all this has been delivered over to me and the power thereof. And all you have to do is worship me and all is yours. Well, how is that manifested in us? The minute I concern myself with self-seeking, I am worshiping the God of this world. The moment I have opinions and stands about what is going on in time and space, I am worshiping the God of this world. Remember in Pentecost, what we study is the Levirate marriage issue, where it's we found out that Esther, who is the type of a bride, and Boaz wanted to marry her, but there was a nearer kinsman. And that nearer kinsman in the type is the God of this world. And as long as you are making yourself into champions, into success, and into all this stuff, then you're making yourself attractive to the God of this world. Remember when Satan was going to come, somebody was talking to Jesus about Satan, and Jesus had this incredible statement. He said, he has no interest in me. Because he was the antithesis of what the God of this world and what the human mind worships. Success, you know, all the stuff that we've talked about. Am I communicating? The reason this is so important is not to say, oh, look at what those Jews did. It's to see what we are doing. Every time we get into these little deals and opinions about people, Jeff, and opinions about how other people should act, Jeff, and opinions about what political party should win or not win, Gary, and you know, the whole panoply. We are our kingdom. Our king is not of this world. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is the kingdom of eternity. And everything that's going on in time and space from our perspectives is equal. But oh, how seductive it is to have a cause. Understand a little bit?
It's interesting, this morning we were listening to this and talking the history of the Jews. It's like I carry in my own DNA all of that history. It's not history, it's current. And the same battle that's pictured in these words here is the battle that's taking place.
Amen. Okay, let's go to Titus. Titus is just before Hebrews. Just before Hebrews. Verse 8. Be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. This is qualifications of elders and bishops, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You know what gainsayers means? The opposers. It doesn't mean those who preach gain. It's anybody that opposes the mystery. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, their Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true, whereof rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments or traditions of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now you could read all these things that we've read and come to the conclusion that any anti-Semitism is justified. But what you have to see is that it's talking to each of us. That we not do the things for which they were condemned for. So that you don't have to suffer. You don't have to go through the same things they did. That you can voluntarily, by empathy, experience it. Amen. What, Gary? You're doing it again. I missed you when you're not here.
Well, I was just seeing how this sound doctrine, like the word is in us, but it's activated by sound doctrine. It's given life and by this witness, and that's why it can't be done just one person by himself.
It has to be done. It's a body. It's all of the scriptures. They're not written to the world. They're written to the bride.
And the sound doctrine is what reveals Christ as he is.
If you can repent.
Yeah, and false doctrine allows you to be a gainsayer and go on about your way, do your stuff. So it's a...
But the trap is... But listen, the trap is all the things that are really what's called the keys to the kingdom. If there's anything, any circumstance, any issue, any person that you haven't forgiven from the heart, if there's anything in time and space for which you're taking a stand, if there's the total, you know, the only two things Jesus said he hated, and as far as I know, but he said it in the book of Revelation, he said, these things I hate, the doctrine of Balaam, and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The doctrine of Balaam was Balaam attempted to involve the mystery of God with politics. And the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Nico, there's these great arguments about who were the Nicolaitans. Well, Nico is a Greek word for success. Therefore, Nicolaitans, doctrine of Nicolaitans, is somebody that preaches success in God's name. So what all of us do and want to do is the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That's the way our minds are wired. That's why repentance has to be total, because you have to see that there's no life in those things. They are empty, they are futile and empty and not worthy of giving breath to.
It always interests me how that the most dramatic things about us, our politics and our financial or worldly success, are the main drivers of this.
Well, yeah, didn't her mother say in polite conversation, never discuss politics or religion?
And sex.
What?
There's always politics, religion, and sex.
I didn't hear that part of it.
But those are the ones that that have to be repented of. And if that's never seen, then can't even begin to happen.
No, and people don't like it. Yeah. You know, they don't want to be challenged in what they believe. But that is the purpose of the preaching of the cross, so that idolatry can be seen as idolatry and repented of. And this is the season where idolatry can become so right. So, the season of politics, especially presidential politics.
You know, I'm seeing how it's artfully blended to deceive. You know, it's not a subtle, I mean, it's subtle because it tries to not make it real clear what's happening here. It's done with great finesse, so that even, you know, if you're not bent towards seeing the cross.
As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Did you see where they smuggled 6 or 7 telephones into the death row place?
What happened then?
Oh, they were making pornography. They were making calls to the pornographic numbers, and then they were making threatening phone calls to the judges and everybody that put them in prison. That's a story all over the news. Anybody else? Everybody understand this thing about how dangerous opinions are? Jeff?
I have to think. Capiche.
John? Take a big guy. Oh. I'm all out of breakfast tacos.
Okay, gotta make sure I do this right now.